Okay, my friends, welcome back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos. We're going to go ahead and get started this evening with our midweek service. Quickly, friendly heads up on the first pew. For those of you who are interested in ordering our next soul-winning t-shirts, I have two on display for you to look at. And then in the box is the light gray color of the shirt. Amen. So those are the two latest designs that I've made. Those are ours that I got for my wife and I. So for those of you that are interested in ordering either a long sleeve or a short sleeve, just go ahead and let me know after tonight's service and say, Brother Carlos, I'd like that one, long sleeve, short sleeve, and then just give me your size and then Venmo me, and then there you have it. Amen. Also, just want to remind you guys, friendly reminder, this Friday's Friday night discipleship class is canceled. As you guys know, my wife and I are finishing our move and officially are just going to be doing a lot of unpacking, and as well as Saturday. We're going to cancel Saturday's outreach. My wife and I are just going to take a day off for a little break, and so just keep us in prayer. Tomorrow is going to be our last day of moving, so for any volunteers, just please let me know. I want to thank God for Sister Eileen and little Diego. Last night, they helped us out. They were hanging out with us until 9 o'clock. We had good dinner, good fellowship. As I promise you, church, if you volunteer, you will be covered for dinner. Amen. So just have a few minutes. A few items left, and I'm looking forward to that tomorrow. So just let me know if you'd like to help out. That should be a blessing. And then God willing, we will be back here for Sunday service. Amen. By the Lord's help. So other than that, guys, those are our immediate announcements. I just want to thank God for those of you who are able to come here this evening for Bible study fellowship. Amen. With that said, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of James, chapter number 3. James, chapter number 3. And unless anyone else has any announcements, I hope and pray your guys' week have been going well. I've been praying for every single one of you daily, and I mean that. I hope you've been praying for me, and if you haven't, just take time tonight to pray for me, pray for my wife. That should be a blessing. We need all the prayer that we can get, and let's not forget that a family that prays together stays together. Amen.
I want to announce during, we have spring break coming up. We have a week off, and if you guys want to fellowship or have like a women's fun kind of fellowship here at the church, we can find a day that's available for
Amen. Okay. Yep. I'm just waiting for the men to make time and fellowship. They know who they are. Those men know who they are. They just got to make time. Amen. All right. James chapter number 3. Tonight's message is titled Righteousness versus Frowardness. Tonight's title is Righteousness versus Frowardness. The theme of tonight's message is going to be based upon how do we manifest the wisdom of God in our life. And the number one way that that's going to be exhibited or shown unto others is our speech, our conduct, our manner of communication one toward another. Remember that our Savior taught a long time ago that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so tonight, I just want to give you guys some Bible, some encouragement, some challenge, and some admonition. So that way we can all continue to do our best to take heed to the sweet counsel of God's Word to guide us and to direct us and to mold us and shape us so that way our conduct and our conversation, that is how people observe us, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our family circles, at the workplace, or at church, that the way you speak to people and how you listen, just taking time, that's what's going to display the wisdom that you claim to possess from God. And so tonight, with God's help, I'm hoping that the Word will have an effect within your life if you let Him affect your heart first. Amen. James chapter 3, read with me now, starting in verse number 17. If I sound a little tired or exhausted, it's just because we've been doing back-to-back moving and so on and so forth. So I sure appreciate your prayers. Let's go ahead and read together now. Read the verses, then we'll pray. James chapter 3, verse number 17 through 18. The Bible says here, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God this evening. Father, my body man is a little exhausted and tired from the move this week, but I pray your Holy Spirit will help me now and empower me to deliver these words of eternal life, these precious words, God, that we have before us in this book. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will have his way. Please minister to their spirit aside from my human error and my communication. I pray, God, that tonight's word will bring edification, challenge, and comfort to the hearers this evening, God. Lord, I thank you for every soul that is represented here this evening. I pray for them and their families. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen this church to remain faithful and to be united as a church that believes the Bible as the word of God. And that, Lord, we are all imperfect aside from your perfectness. And we all can love each other and forbear each other and forgive each other, no matter what, God, because you provided for us the Holy Spirit power to do it. So, Lord, whenever our heart doesn't want to, or whenever our heart doesn't want to conform to your image, tonight I pray that you would begin to remind us that we need to yield ourselves to you, God, so you can be glorified. And so tonight I thank you. I submit and surrender the rest of this evening into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now listen with me one more time, verse number 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. So when we are talking about wisdom, that is telling others, I am a Christian, and because of your profession, you are claiming to have wisdom that they don't have. As soon as you begin to tell the world that I'm a Christian, you are making a bold statement. You are telling them that you represent the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are telling them that something about your life has a personal connection with the creator of the universe. But how is that going to be shown them? How is that going to be exhibited before them? Well, there's not going to be anything radiating off of your body. Obviously, you and I don't have a halo around our head. Our body is not necessarily glowing, right? There's nothing supernatural about your presence, if you will. But there's something that will beam from your conduct and your character, your attitude, and that's going to be your conduct. And so tonight, I want to discuss with you and show you from the Bible of what biblical wisdom looks like before others, whether they're saved or unsaved, and how we can do our best to yield ourselves to the way that God wants us to continue to be in obedience so he could be glorified through our lives. And my wife, if you don't mind, you can close the door. It's a little chilly. I appreciate that. So now, let's read it one more time carefully. Wisdom that is from above is first pure. See, there's the virtue or the attribute or the characteristic of the Holy Spirit of God pouring upon your heart wisdom from heaven. It's pure. Then it's peaceable. Then it's gentle. And then it's easy to be entreated. And then it's full of mercy. There's good fruits without partiality. The wisdom you're going to get from God is not going to be used to show favor to nobody. You're going to treat everyone the same. It doesn't matter if they are blood or non-blood, family or no family. Wisdom from God requires for you to treat everybody the same. It doesn't matter if they're your family or not, your friend or not, coworker or not. God said here, if you are going to operate off my wisdom, I need you to do it my way, and I need you not to show favoritism. And then look at the last part. And I think we can all say amen to this, that we are all still in the process of not being a hypocrite. Notice what it says, without hypocrisy. So wisdom from above, in order for it to be shown or to be manifest before others, in order for it to appear visible before others, for others to identify its source, we need to be connected, if you will, to the root. We need to be well-established, being built up within the root. Many of you have heard of this analogy that fruit will produce after his kind. All you got to do is go back to your Bible study in Genesis and see when God planted a particular fruit tree that he said it's going to bear after its kind. So now that you and I have been born again, according to the Bible, there is a seed that has been planted within our soul. That's the word of God. You can read that in 1 John chapter 3. And according to the law of planting and then reaping, fruit bearing fruit after its kind, there should be some change in your life by now. There should be some transformation in your life by now that exhibits and shows to the world around you that you truly have a relationship with the creator of the heavens and the earth. But if they don't see peace from your life, brother and sister, if they don't see gentleness from your life, brother and sister, if they don't see mercy, if they don't see good fruits, if they still see that you're treating some people one way and another and other people another way, and if they still see hypocrisy, it's not the root's problem. It's not the seed's problem. It's your problem and it's my problem because we are not adequately letting the seed produce fruit within our life. And also, How are we taking care of the seed? How are we watering the seed? How are we nurturing the seed? So tonight, I want us to truly examine our heart before that, because if we want to be representatives of the King of Glory, it's going to start right there. It's going to start with my heart in this book, and then it's going to begin to have an effect through me where others socially around me are going to be able to be benefited by what's going on the inside of me. So I first have to believe the Word of God. I first have to trust the Word of God. I first have to not harden my heart against it and let it have its way. What you feed that seed, or how you nurture that seed, how you water that seed, will determine the effect of its production. And then once grown and matured, either the good seed, which is the Word of God, during the production of it is going to demonstrate good fruit. Or because you fail to water it, because you fail to nurture it, it's going to produce bad fruit. But that's not the Word of God's fault. That's just your heart not letting it have its effect within your life during the process of that growth. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse number 15. That's going to also assist us with tonight's theme concerning our heart attitude. Luke chapter 8, verse number 15. Here's what he said. Katie, you don't mind closing that door, please. Luke chapter 8, verse number 15. The Bible says here, friend, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So Jesus told you and told me this evening, if you have an honest and good heart, when you hear the word of God, you're going to do it. You're going to keep it. But what's the indirect or inverse application, or if you will, truth that we can gain from that? What's the opposite? Well, if you don't have an honest heart and if you don't have a good heart, you're not going to keep what you hear and you're not going to produce fruit. So it's not the Word of God's fault. It's your heart and my heart's fault when we don't have a good and honest heart to first of all want to hear it, believe it, and then do it. So tonight, friend, how do others perceive the wisdom through your life? Do they see a peaceable person in the workplace? Do they see a merciful wife in your marriage? Do they see a gentle husband in the marriage? Do they see that purity within your life as a representative of the God of heaven? If they don't, well, now you know what the problem is. It's the heart. It is the condition of your response to the Word of God. So first lesson, let's talk about our speech. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm just trying to help you now, my friend, on how to produce good wisdom, how to produce biblical wisdom, how to manifest it, and how to exhibit it. But we first have to take care of the heart problem. Tonight, if you're not going to be willing to have a good and honest heart before the Word of God, then it's not going to have its effect through your life. You can't blame your lack of knowledge or your lack of understanding, because all of us can read English this evening. We can understand this Bible very clearly. And also, we can't necessarily blame the minister through whom you're hearing it from, because all I'm doing is just quoting to the Word of God. You can have such a radical reform change of life if your heart is good and honest before the sight of Christ. And when he sees the genuinity in you and the sincerity, the Holy Spirit of God will continue to supernaturally help you to have a change. But if he sees that you don't have an honest and good heart, don't be surprised why you don't change. There's only so long that you'll be able to go off the flesh vapor for a season, and then before you know it, you're going to manifest the flesh. So look with me now, James chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What does the Holy Spirit say in verse number 16? Do not err, my beloved brethren. So God, nor his word, nor his Holy Spirit will ever be the cause for your stumbling, your temptation, your sins. Your spouse, your children, your family members should never be your excuse to sin. Your pastor, your church family should never be an excuse to sin. Your workplace, your government, your nation should never be an excuse for you to sin. How you choose to respond or eventually will respond to the issues you face in this life, the Holy Spirit told you and I clear and plain. You and I are tempted when we are drawn away of our own lusts, when we are enticed. So, brother and sister, your spouse did not force you to treat her with anger. Vice versa, wife, your husband did not force you to respond with an attitude in your communication. However, it is your heart's attitude when it is enticed by the lust of what? Anger, bitterness, because of my response to the Word of God. Your children, and you can fill in any application there, right, in the workplace, etc. Your bad attitude is simply reflecting your heart's attitude in response to the Word of God. Likewise, for y'all that are single or children of, under parents, whatever your social role you might find yourself with here this evening, listen to your God's Word. It is not their problem. It is your problem. When you fail to take heed to yourself. So look at one more time, James 1, 13 through 16. You can't blame God. I'm tempted. They made me do it. You're going to hear that all the time. Ain't nobody made you do it, brother and sister. You're fooling yourself. That's your heart. You chose to act out in anger. You chose bitterness. You chose wrath. You chose strife. You chose contention. You chose backbiting. God did not lead you to do that. That's not God's fault. And if you say it's God's fault, the Holy Spirit told you, you're erring. Now you still are a brother and sister. You're just being foolish. You're being silly when you allow yourself to do those things. But look at what God said, friend. You and I are tempted in verse number 14 when we are drawn away of our own lust. And then when we entertain that lust or that desire, if we don't control it by taking that thought captive and praying to God and saying, God, give me the strength right now to do right, you know what's going to happen? It's going to produce sin. And then what is the end result of that sin? It's death. The flesh is taken over at that time. Now, is there hope for restoration and deliverance? Of course, because your Savior died for your sins, Galatians 1, verse 4, remember? But also to deliver you from this present world. So he wants to continue to purify you, but you have to let him. So tonight, you have to let the Word of God be your authority to direct you on how you communicate with people, your speech, and how you listen. Remember to take heed to yourself. I'll read you three places. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. The Bible says here, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 15. Galatians 5, verse number 15. The Bible says here, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And then one more, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart, an unbelief in departing from the living God. So three times your New Testament tells you, take heed to yourself. You cannot blame anyone else but your heart in response to the Word of God and how you respond to people or the issues of life. You can't blame God. You can't blame the person next to you. God already told you it is you when you are entertaining that desire and that lust more than the Word of God. And then when you give in to the flesh, whether it's a way that you talk to somebody or how you treat somebody, you sin, you failed. So then what do? We go back to God, the source. Say, God, forgive me. Help me not to do it anymore. I don't want to treat my spouse like that anymore. I don't want to treat my church member like that anymore. I don't want to talk about my pastor behind his back. I don't want to talk about my wife or my spouse behind their back. I don't want to talk about my friends in the workplace. I want to be faithful. So take heed. What does it mean to take heed, my friend? It means to mind. It means to regard, to with care. It means to take notice of, to attend to seriously. In other words, you're being on watch. You're being on watch. James 1, verse number 16. Let's go back there quickly, and then we're going to make our way through the Proverbs. Proverbs, back on that Bible train. Y'all already know I'm just going to feed you the scriptures this evening. James chapter 1, verse number 16. Again, I need you to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. So the next time that you entertain either an unbeliever or a carnal believer on why they're giving you their excuse and justification on disobedience to this book, the Holy Spirit already told you what their problem was. They are erring from the truth. They are willingly choosing to entice the lust and desire because they are failing to submit to the Word of God. And you know it. So now that you know that truth, or I'm reminding you of that again, the next time that you communicate with them, be aware. That's the heart condition. How can they get healed from that or delivered from that? You have to show them what I'm going to show you this evening, the Bible. Take them to these verses and let them know, hey, friend, this is what God commands you to do. Not suggest, brother and sister, commands. All right, now, Proverbs chapter 10. Let's go there now. Back to the Bible train. It's been a minute since we've been on our Bible train. Proverbs chapter 10. Let's go together now, my friends, verse by verse through these different portions of the Holy Word of God. Proverbs chapter number 10, verse 31 through 32. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31 through 32. Christians who are meditating upon the Word of God day and night will know how to respond the right way versus the wrong way. Let's look at there. Proverbs 10, verse 31 through 32. The Bible says that the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know, now listen, what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh what? Frowardness. So Christians who are meditating upon the Word of God day and night will know what's the right way versus the wrong way on how to respond to people. Before they give an answer, they'll consider if what they're going to say or how they're going to say it is righteous or froward. What does the word froward mean, Brother Carlos? It means perverse. It means fraud. It means not willing to yield or comply with what is required. Unyielding, ungovernable, in other words, disobedient. So friend, look at what it says in 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. So when you're dealing with a carnal Christian, it's very difficult because in their heart and in their mind, they've already decided to be froward because they're not being governed by the Bible. They're willingly being disobedient. They're going to not want to submit to the verse that you literally read right before them in English and Spanish and Greek and whatever language you want to try to convey the truth. So what do? You present the truth. You remain unaltered or unmovable for the truth's sake, and you let the Word of God have its effect within their life. You got to stay faithful, and you got to stay strong. But now you can see, God told you, the next time you converse with people, you're going to hear the state of their heart. If what's coming out of their mouth is frowardness, well, now you know why. It's because God can't get a hold of that person. No wonder. But if you hear just words, if you hear words of wisdom, words that match the Bible, wisdom and guidelines that are in agreement with biblical principles, then that's a person you want to listen to, not the other person. Two positions we all have before us in our communication one toward another, our heart attitude in response to the Word of God. We either are going to have a righteous attitude or a froward attitude. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, let's go together, my friends, to verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 20. And then we're going to go down later to verse 24 through 26. Look at here. The Bible says, and by the way, Brother Giovanni knows all about this when he lights up that fire for the household, where no wood is, there the fire go without. Right? Because you need wood. You need the source of energy to keep the flame going. So now listen, where there is no tale bearer, the strife ceaseth. People in your life who are constantly being froward in their communication and their speech, they're carnal, they're liars, they're backbiters, they have a bad attitude, a haughty attitude. They're always complaining, they're always murmuring. You know what God said? If you want to cut that off out of your life, you got to remove the wood. And the fire goes away. So what does that look like? You got to stop listening to that. You have to willingly and purposefully stop entertaining either the politics on the TV, the worldly movies or TV shows that you watch with dramas that portray people gossiping, and for some reason you still like the entertainment. I don't know why. But all that is shaping you, friend. It's having an effect if you're not firm in the Word of God. We care about our carnal brethren when they're trying to vent, but you don't want to let that thing get to you too much, because before you know it, you're going to begin to act like that contentious fire. Go down to 24. The Bible says, he that hateth, dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Look at verse 26. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be shewed before the whole congregation. Now, friend, that's a little scary tonight. I want you to read that one more time very carefully. Let's focus now. Listen. He says in verse number 24, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips. What does dissembleth mean, Brother Carlos? It means to hide under a false appearance. It means to conceal, to disguise, to pretend. To pretend that not to be which really is. In other words, a hypocrite. To pretend that to be which is not. To make false appearance or hypocrisy. So what is the Holy Ghost trying to tell you? He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit with him. He is going to try to act like he is cool with you or she's cool with you. Outwardly, they're going to use kind words and if you will, righteous words. But in their heart, they don't care about you. They don't love you. They hate you. But it's all a manifestation of what? Their hatred towards God's word. So no wonder why they act the way they do without you around them. Because what are they doing? They are dissembling with their lips. They're planning purposefully with intent before you communicate. They're premeditating. Oh man, I just don't want God's word. I don't want to be governed by that. And as soon as they come around, I'm going to act like I'm all good. But whenever they go away, I'm going to act differently. Anybody here? So be careful with those type of people. And if that's you here tonight, or if you used to be like, now you know what God is exposing to you of your heart condition. Outwardly, you have a one, if you will, presentation, but inwardly, your heart is, look at that, you're kind of storing up within yourself, as it says in verse number 24. And then look at verse 26, whose hatred is covered by deceit. So deep down in these kind of people's hearts, they hate God's word. They despise it. They don't love it. It's not authoritative. They could care less. And then what does it say there? They try to cover up. So yeah, they'll say amen to you when you pray. They'll say, oh, that's good. But deep down inside, they don't care because they have a heart problem. They have a froward heart towards the word of God. And then what does it say? His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But before we begin to entertain that, let me just remind you of a man by the name of Paul. I want you to consider for a moment Paul's life. Even in times of heartaches, persecutions, desertions, that is, people leaving him and or banning him, hunger, nakedness, isolation, being in prison, he was beat, he was scourged, he dealt with false Christians, he dealt with carnal Christians. You know what the Bible says? He still maintained genuine love. Let me show you real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says here, by pureness, remember that, James 3, wisdom from above, by knowledge, by long suffering, that's James 3, wisdom from above, gentleness, by kindness, and then look at here, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. So if Paul could keep himself solid, if he could be real, if he could be genuine, if he could still treat you sincerely with care and love, who are we to excuse ourselves from not treating others with kindness, with real love, even though they don't treat us the same in return? Even though they may not be as obedient as you, why can't we still love them? Why can't we still do our best to be genuine and real? Friend, that's biblical wisdom. I know we're all learning. I know we're all in the process of being sanctified. I know it's going to be a minute for us who didn't grow up as a Christian with a godly dad, a godly mom teaching us about love and respect. But guys, you have a greater power now within you. You have a Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your heart, and you have a Holy Bible that He gave you. And this Bible can produce that within you, but you have to want it. Unfeigned. 1 Timothy chapter 1, you can just bear with me. I'm going to read these quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. You've heard me teach you guys this not too long ago about unfeigned and what is the end goal of every fellowship we ought to have and the purpose of our gathering and what is God wanting to produce within every born-again child of God on this earth before they die. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." Unfeigned. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22. The Bible says here in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God." Oh, I'm sorry, that's verse 23. Verse 22, "Seeing you have purified your souls." How many of you guys are born again Christians? Raise your hand. All right, so your soul is purified by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Isn't that amazing? When you called upon Jesus Christ to save your soul, he did, because he's unfeigned. He's real. He is not a hypocrite. When you ask him to forgive you, he genuinely did. When you ask him to save you, he genuinely did. So now, listen, years later, after you get saved, you can't genuinely forgive people or genuinely treat them nice, even though they messed up on you many, many times, just like you messed up on Christ. But what is he telling you? You have the Holy Spirit of God. You have the same God that you called upon for salvation, who treated you real and whose heart and character has not been altered by your obedience or disobedience. He still remains the same. You have that power in you right now. So before you begin to entertain the flesh on why you should treat somebody differently or your communication is justified now, you talk to somebody, you know what the Holy Spirit said there? You better see that you love them. You better see that you treat them with pure love like I treat you. All right. Unfeigned love. What does unfeigned mean, Brother Carlos? It means sincere. It means not feigned. It means real. It means not hypocritical. Now listen, I'm going to prophesy to you tonight. Go back to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, I'm going to prophesy. You say, "Whoa, Brother Carlos, what do you mean?" You guys know what that is biblically. You guys are a part of a Bible-believing church. I'm going to just edify you with the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 14:3. But listen, I'm going to prophesy to you this evening. Remember, if you don't take care of this heart of yours, eventually, whatever else you're feeding it will come out of your mouth. Eventually, it could manifest before your church. It appears to me, brother and sister, it takes time for this to occur. It doesn't just happen suddenly or overnight. How you act and treat others with your hearing and your speech will eventually manifest before everyone else if you don't take care of your heart. Go back to Proverbs 26. Look again what it said in verse number 26. "Whose hatred is covered by deceit," listen, "his wickedness shall be showed before" who? "The whole congregation." Now you have a small church. You don't have a lot of people to deal with. That's good and bad. Good, because you're not necessarily burdened with more than 100 souls, right? 200 souls in bigger churches. They have a lot more souls to care about every single family, right? But within the little congregation that you have these little souls to care for. But for souls who you don't see here this evening, for souls whose life has been so evident and exhibited of frowardness, now you know why. The Bible just explained to you. It's because they had a froward heart towards the Word of God. And because they didn't take care of that heart, and they didn't choose to have a sincere and good heart like Jesus said, no wonder why God gave them over to those things in their mind to no longer want to talk with you or be here or fellowship and hence argue and act frowardly. I just want you to see now. I'm just prophesying again. If you don't take care of your heart, no wonder over time everybody's going to know. It's going to manifest before your family, before others, before genuine Christians that care about you, because that's what God said. How about that? So you got to take care of your heart. Now, for this reason, some have left. Some have stopped attending, not just this church, but churches in general, because sometime long ago, they decided to enjoy frowardness more than righteousness. Feigned faith versus unfeigned faith. So what do we need to do? Take heed, as the Spirit of God told us. Okay, back to Proverbs chapter 10. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19. The Bible says here in Proverbs 10, verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You and I both know who they are in our life, and it might be you tonight, brother and sister. But at some point, you're just going to have to learn that you don't always have to talk back. Anybody out there? You don't always have to answer. You don't always have to talk. You don't always have to just say what you feel is right, and I'm just going to call it as it is, and I'm just going to say how. No, you don't have to do that. Look at what God said, Proverbs 10:19. Read it again. He says there, he that refraineth his lips is wise. It's wise if you just hush it up every so often. It's wise as if you just keep your lips closed. It's wise if some Christians can just keep their mouth shut or closed to control the urge to give into their flesh, to just spew out whatever they feel, even though they haven't considered in that moment biblical wisdom. What we just learned about in James 3 is what's about to just come out of my heart right now. Is it pure? Is it gentle? Is it merciful? Or is it selfish? Is it strife? Is it contentions? Am I blaming? Am I pointing out the finger? Etc., etc. Some believers just can't seem to keep their mouth closed because they feel like in order to be proven right, they just have to keep talking. You know what the Holy Spirit told you, friend? How about just being quiet? How about just closing lips? How about just listening? You don't always have to have an answer. Because can I remind you, brother and sister, tonight? There's one person who knows the truth. Anybody know who that is? That's right. God. The Bible says he knows the hearts of all men. Acts 15:8, Revelation 2:23. So if your heart is found upright before him, you'll be blessed. He'll take care of you. Don't worry. But if your heart is not found upright before him, he warned you in Proverbs 26, he may call you out and he might put you on blast before everybody. So what do you need to do? Take heed. Let me just share these verses with you quickly. There is this very powerful statement in the Bible. There's two words that I really like. I'm going to read them for you this evening. It's the word return and me. Many times God called out to the nation of Israel, just come back to me, Israel. I'm willing to forgive you. I know that you've been committing spiritual adultery. I know you've been worshiping false gods. I know you've been messing up with your children over there, offering up to the sacrifice of the false gods. I know you've been doing this. I know you've been doing that. But I'm still appealing. I'm still calling out to you. I still want you to just come back to me so I can help you to get healed and get it right. Because what did James 3 tell you? That the wisdom which is from above is first what? Pure. And then what else? Peaceable. Remember that? So can we learn tonight from God's example? Yes, we can. And now let me share those with you now. So just forbear with me. If you want to turn there, you can. That's cool. Isaiah 44, verse number 22. Isaiah 44, verse 22. Here's what he said. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. He tells them, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. How about you, Christian? Do you believe that the blood of Jesus paid for all your sin? Raise your hand. Do you believe that all your sins and all your trespasses have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus? Raise your hand. So if he's telling you, daughter and son, just come back to me, why don't we sometimes? Why do we make God wait a couple of days until we get back to church to get right? Why do Christians wait for that altar at their church before they get there when they have the greatest altar right here? It's called the heart. Why? I don't know. But until then, here's what I can tell you. God is so loving and so compassionate, he'll wait for you. He's very patient. I need that. Amen. So now listen, I'm just going to give you these quick nuggets about God compelling and calling out to a people who are disobedient, who are feigned, who are froward. He still has enough compassion and mercy to just say, come back to me. I will help you with that hard attitude. I will help you with your lying mouth. I will help you with your attitude over here. I'll help you with your sin over there if you just come back to me. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Tonight is just a teaching lesson, amen. Brother Carlos is a little exhausted, but I'm just going to give you this book. This Bible's good, amen. Listen what he says in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. That's good. How many of you guys know who these brethren are? I'm just going to say brother A and sister B. But God, she did this to me. But you don't know how they talk to me, God, and they deserve for me to treat them like that. Anybody know? Anybody like that? It might be you tonight. But can I tell you something? You know what God's going to tell you? But you cheated on me. You ignored me. You didn't listen to me. You didn't get a hold of that sin like I told you. But you know what God tells you to do anyways? Return to me. So the one in whom we can find love, joy, peace, deliverance is God. It's always been God. And it will always be God. But when you don't take heed to your heart and you entertain the lust and desire for strife, contention with the speech and the communication, how you treat people, remember what James told you? You were led away by your sins. You were enticed. That wasn't God's fault. So when you begin to tell everyone else your excuse of why you shouldn't act like Christ in the marriage, why you shouldn't act like Christ in your singlehood, you know what God is going to call you out for? Your sin against him. And even though he brings it to your attention, you know what he's still going to do? He's still going to say, come back to me. I'll forgive you. I'll take care of you. Just come back. Anybody out there? Look at Jeremiah 4:1. Jeremiah 4:1. He says, if thou will return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou will put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. How many of you guys remember what the Bible said in the book of James? Draw nigh to God and he will what? Draw nigh to you. Remember that? Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Remember that? But then he says in one verse later, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. So while I have an issue within my heart, I got it going on, God. I know I got some problems within my spirit. I know I don't treat people the way I need to. I know I don't love my neighbor as I ought. I know I don't treat my spouse as I ought, my church member as I ought. What does God want you to do? Return to him, but give him that desire. And then show him that you're sincere by making an effort to put it away. Jeremiah 15:19. Look at what he says here, Jeremiah 15:19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vile, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Malachi chapter 3. Go ahead and turn your Bible there. I really would like for you to read this with me. This one's really good. Malachi chapter number 3. That is going to be right before the book of Matthew, just to give you guys a hand, okay? Malachi chapter 3, it's the last book in the Old Testament. This is really powerful. I love this verse. Malachi chapter 3, let's read together, my friend, starting in verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh man, isn't he a good God? If you just come back, daughter, son, I'll come back to you. But as long as you want to resist my word, like a lot of other Christians have throughout time, don't be surprised why you're not blessed. Don't be surprised why you don't see change in your life, deliverance, and so on and so forth. Okay, let's go back to the Proverbs, and then we're almost done. Back to the Bible there, Proverbs chapter 13, back to the neighborhood. Proverbs chapter 13. Listen with me now, my friend, very carefully to what the Spirit of God is trying to tell you from this Bible. Not me, just the Bible, just the Bible. Proverbs chapter 13. We're going to focus lastly before we close on our speech and our lips. What did he tell us in James? Let's be quick to listen. Listen first, slow to speak, right? Let me just read that carefully one more time, but stay there in Proverbs. I'll read it for you. Proverbs 13, and then I'll carefully read that verse in James. James, let me find it here. And let's see here. James chapter number 1, he said there in verse number 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So we're going to focus on that tonight before we close. Proverbs 13, verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." So again, we don't have to have an answer for everything. You don't have to just talk and just get off everything that's on your chest at the moment. You can just listen, and that's fine. You can just be quiet, and God said, that's what I've been looking for. Proverbs 15, verse number 2. Proverbs 15, verse number 2. Remember how I shared with you earlier how a Christian who meditates on the Word of God day and night will know how to give a right answer from a wrong answer? We'll look again. Proverbs 15, verse number 2. Let's read verse 1, verse 1 and 2. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." No wonder why people can't get along, because one of them cannot humble their heart. One person cannot get along in a relationship because while someone's trying to be peaceful, the other one keeps biting back and biting back and biting back and being grievous. And what is that going to do? It's just going to produce more grief. Look at verse 2. "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." So if you and I want to be wise, James 3, it first must be demonstrated with what? Purity, peaceableness. What did he say? Mercy, good fruits, gentle. So now as you're studying the Bible, you're learning scripture, you're going to meditate how you should answer before you answer. Is this right? Is this good? Is how I'm going to talk to my husband or my wife, is this peaceable? Is this merciful? Is this gentle? Is how I'm going to communicate with this church member or my worker or my supervisor or anyone out there, is this good? Don't be a fool by just speaking whatever's on your heart. Don't be, brother, I just had to say it on my heart. No, no, let's be wise. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. Proverbs 17, verse 27. Bible says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." So it seems to me, church, if you're reading with me, sometimes just being quiet is wise enough. Just listening. Just listen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 13. Bible says, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." A lot of us used to act like that. As soon as your friend came up to you in school, "Oh, did you hear? Oh, what? Boom." And then you obviously have a bad day because all you have is a one side view of the coin. You don't know the other side. You just go straight for whatever somebody told you because maybe they're your brother, your sister, your family member, your friend, and you just trusted them without investigating or getting to the facts of the matter. A lot of us are guilty of just listening to the first side of a particular thing without actually investigating and proving it to make sure it's sound and true. And a lot of us are guilty of not wanting to offend the person because we care about them for telling them that they're wrong. But we need to. Now listen, one more time. "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." So, Christian, when that carnal brother and sister come up to you again, because you will face them before the rapture, hello, it might be you or it might be someone else, just listen. And before you tell them, "This is what I think you should do," just say, "I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to talk to the other person to see if what you said is true." Maybe they might say, "Oh, no, you know what? My bad. I'm forgive me. I don't want you to see if I'm true or not. Amen. I don't want y'all to prove me out. I'm just trying to complain. That's all." No, you don't have to go, "My bad, my bad." You know who they are. Don't be shy, but straight up, ask them. If the person you're complaining to me about, I'm going to go ask them if that's true. "Oh, no. Okay. Well, then you're just murmuring." Verse 21. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Here's what the Bible says. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So tonight you have two options before you. Your mouth, yes, we know what God said. It is an untamable creature, right? We know our mouth, it's just got some deadly poison. We know what the scriptures say. We know that. And the Holy Ghost knows that. He obviously put it in the book. But you know what he told you? Even though you can't tame that thing, you have two options. In your mouth, you have death and you have life. it's up to you on what you want to communicate. You can either be a life giver or a life taker. You can either be someone that is exalting goodness and peace and righteousness and meekness, because that's life, or you can be in the flesh by destroying, tearing down, and so on and so forth. Anybody heard of you reap what you sow? Well, if you sow death into people's lives through your speech, you're going to reap that. If you sow life and peace, you're going to reap that. Chapter 21, Proverbs. Let's go there. We're almost done. Three more verses. Proverbs 21, look with me now, my friend, in verse number 23. The Bible says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from what? Troubles." You know that one person in the workplace? They just can't hush it up. No wonder they're getting in trouble. You know that church member that's always complaining? No wonder why they got problems in life. Because they just can't humble themselves. They can't just keep their mouth closed. They can't just say, "God, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner, you're the Savior. Jesus, help me and deliver me from my heart attitude, not the person that I'm keep trying to point out." Bible still good? Anybody? Okay, two more verses and we're going to close. I'm going to end with this. What should be then the heart attitude of the Christian in response to the speech? We talked about how we need to listen first. Now let's end with how we need to communicate. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's read together in verse number 29. What should be the Christian heart attitude in our communication and in our speech? Ephesians 4. Let's read together, my friend, starting at verse number. Well, let's read from verse 24. Let's read Ephesians 4, verse 24. The Bible says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying," so you have to do that. "Speak every man truth with his neighbor," you have to do that. "For we are members one of another." That's what God said, your family. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." And now look at 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister" what? "Grace unto the hearers." So somehow, some way, here's what we have to balance. I'm going to speak truth into your life. I see some things going on. You see some things going on in my life. Somehow, some way, we have to communicate to one another where we have enough grace in the way we do it. That's the heart attitude in your speech. That's your tone. That's your way of communicating. There's right ways and wrong ways of communicating the gospel. There's a way in our method of delivery that somehow, some way, people will either receive it or reject it just by how you came off. If I was speaking to you with an attitude, acting like a jerk, you're most likely not going to listen to me. But if I came up to you with more grace and meekness, charity, you're most likely going to listen to me. So the Holy Spirit wants us to what? Minister to each other graciously. Make sure that when we are communicating, yeah, it's truth. But make sure that I'm talking to you with the new man. Make sure that I'm not talking to you from the old man, which is contention, strife, fire, right? But it's peaceable wisdom. It's good wisdom. It's what does it say? Full of mercy type of communication in our speech. And then one more. We're going to come to a close. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and then we're going to come to a close. We've learned about how we need to listen. We learned that we need to be more listeners. We know we don't have to talk all the time. We know we don't have to have an answer all the time. God taught us tonight that we just need to sometimes close our lips and just listen before we give an answer. We learned tonight when people try to give an excuse to God for sins and how they feel like they need to treat others because they feel justified, we learned that God can call us out anytime, and that he still pleads with us to return to him with our whole heart. Tonight, how should our speech be guided and our attitude one to another and the tone of our communication graciously? Colossians chapter 4. Read with me together now, my friend, for our last verse. The Bible says, let your speech be always with what? Anybody? Grace. Seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Church, that's a command. Christians must speak graciously. I've read books by Christians who are cursing out other Christians, who are using profane words against other Christians, and they're not being obedient to that verse. I don't have time for that, so I threw that book away. I've heard Christians who don't have grace towards other Christians with salt, and I don't listen to them anymore. I don't listen to them on YouTube. I could care less, because I hear the same coming out, and they're spewing it out every other sermon, complaining, murmuring, everyone else is wrong but me, blah, 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 blah. If you keep listening to those kind of Christians, brother, no wonder, sister, why you're not changing, because you're not listening to Jesus, the Bible. So if the Holy Spirit already told you and I know, the way that we can manifest and exhibit wisdom towards them that are without, that's the unbeliever in verse number 5, towards the carnal Christian next to us in our life or our church member, you must speak graciously. You must speak with salt. But what is that? Not only is salt a preservative, it's also to add flavor. Somehow, some way, you need to be able to manage your heart and your communication attitude where it is going to come off gracious with truth, but with taste. So that way, people will come back to you again and again, and they'll want to continue to consult with you because, yeah, you gave them truth, and yeah, it convicted them, but they were willing to listen to you again about it and again about it. That's why Jesus Christ had a lot of followers. Although he was God incarnate, he obviously had the right to call out any man because he could literally read the thoughts of man. But the Bible says that people flocked to him for, I believe, these type of virtues. So in the end of the day, friend, you and I are not too spiritual to excuse ourselves on not treating people with grace, not being gracious in our speech. What did we learn tonight, friend, to sum it up? We need to listen first. We need to just be a lot more attentive with our ears before we begin to open up our mouth to just be like, let me just tell you how I feel and let me get it all off and I'm just going to call it as it is. No, 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 you're wrong. Let me call it out as God wants me to call it out. And before I begin to try to pull the beam out of your eye, let me make sure that my little mote is out first. Let me make sure my heart is right with God, because according to James 3 and all the verses we just cross-referenced this evening, let me make sure that what's going to come out of my mouth is first peaceable. It's pure. It's easy to be entreated. There's mercy in my speech. Let me make sure that that's the motive when I talk with you. And if it's not, then I'm just going to keep myself quiet until I get that motive, until I get that submission to the Bible, because I don't want to tear you down. I want to build you up. But if I can't let God's word first build me up from the inside, then you ain't going to get it on the outside. So my friend, we need to take heed. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the word of God this evening. Nothing too fancy, God. No yelling, no kicking, no screaming. Just the Bible and our hearts being sincere and honest and open before your Holy Spirit to examine our hearts, to examine the Bible, to see where we come short to the glory and the image of Christ revealed in the pages of Scripture. All of us here tonight, God, know where we need to grow more in. All of us here tonight, God, I believe it's safe to say that we all can agree that we are still so shortcoming of the glory of Jesus. We need more help in how we listen. We need more help with how we communicate. We need more help in our speech to be more gracious. We need more help to not treat people differently because family, no family, blood, no blood. We need more help to be more like you, God. We need that wisdom from above like James 3 taught us. We need that wisdom that is first peaceable, pure, gentle, easy to be entreated. We need help to tame our flesh and our lips when they want to entertain all the worldly contention and carnal Christianity around us. We need help. So tonight, God, you taught us from the Bible. Just like you still reached out with your grace and compassion towards a rebellious Israel, likewise, you still plead with us to return to you for the source of healing, deliverance, joy, to keep ourselves fed spiritually and motivated spiritually to want to do what you command us to do. So tonight, God, I thank you for these souls. They have a long life ahead of them. Lord, I know that if they can get this down right now to take heed of their heart, they can be the best Christians this generation had. They can be loving Christians, gracious Christians, Christians that, yes, love the truth and are willing to stand firm for it and to call out error where it's error, but they can do it graciously. They can do it with meekness. So God, thank you for these souls that are here this evening. Please watch over them as they make their way home this evening. Comfort them with your Holy Spirit, God, as they meditate on the word, as they sleep this evening. Hear their prayers, God, when they pray for each other and their church family, people they miss seeing here, people they want to see saved. And I thank you for allowing me to be a friend to them. Father, we commit the rest of this night into your hands, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you all. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for coming. Keep us in prayer for tomorrow. Amen. The Lord bless.